Good morning. That was pathetic.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. As we begin our study today, let us turn our attention to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. Let's turn our cares over to him. He created you. He knows everything about you. He knows exactly what you need, and he's excited to be able to provide that to you at any time. And this is one of those times where we break away from the world and hear the truth of the Word of God. And we begin by worshiping our Lord in song, and the opening song is We Fall Down.
You can't stand.
I thought you told him to fall down. Standing there thinking, why the hell aren't they singing? Hey, how about changing the slides, pal? Completely forgot about that. God. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you for the Lamb of God, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who takes away the sins of the world. Thank you for raising him from the dead. Thank you for using him to restore the relationship between your creatures and you. Thank you for providing salvation to anyone who asks you for it. We pray that this message reaches deeply into the souls of the hearers you have provided on this day. And we pray that those hearers may understand their relationship with you as a creature would understand his creator. We pray that the hearers who have not requested a relationship with you do not turn you down as you make a personal appeal to them on this day. And we pray that you give them the strength and the courage to act on their own convictions and to not be swayed by the opinions of others concerning what they should do in the matter of a relationship with you. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Today's study, Romans chapter 1, the Lord will give you your day in court. The Lord will give you your day in court. So to the resident members of Barah Ministries, oh, before I start, I should say welcome to Tony LaGrasso, our good friend from Detroit. Were you clapping for him or for Detroit?
For him.
Hopefully for him, right? Not for Detroit.
Tony.
But Tony's on a business trip over in California and decided to take a six-hour here, six-hour back drive to be with his congregation here at Barah Ministries, and we're really glad to have him here. And welcome to all our guests as well. So to the resident members of Barah Ministries and to the soon-to-be resident members of this ministry, to all those who listen to Barah Ministries lessons who are currently dispersed far and wide throughout the world, and to all of our welcome guests who pass within earshot of this ministry from time to time, grace and peace to you from the triune members of the Godhead. From God the Father, the author of the divine plan for all creatures, you have a divine plan for your life, and God created it, and he's calling out to you today. It was God the Father who developed that plan. Grace and peace to you from God the Son, who voluntarily went to the cross to pay the punishment for the ungodliness and unrighteousness of creatures, so that all creatures might be saved through him. Grace and peace to you from God the Holy Spirit, who makes the free gift of salvation and the need for salvation apparent to all. And from the manifest member of the Godhead, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one ever resurrected from the dead. That's a very significant thing about the Lord Jesus Christ, that no other pretenders can say that they were resurrected from the dead. Now, he claimed to be resurrected from the dead, and he either was or he's insane, and there's no two ways about it, and you have to make a decision as a creature which one of those things you believe, because no one else has made the claim of being resurrected from the dead. There's only one name under heaven which has been given among men by which we must be saved, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So from him, 100% God and 100% true humanity in one person forever. Welcome. I pray that you may abound in real knowledge and in real discernment of all things that are true and all things that are spiritual. And I pray that you may be found blameless before God the Father when the Lord Jesus Christ evaluates all creatures personally. And that day will come. It is not during your lifetime, but there will be a day when you will meet the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. And there will be an evaluation of the gift that you were given, this gift called life. And what will your evaluation say? I pray that the fruit of righteousness, which comes through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God the Father, may be spoken readily from your lips and reflected in your concern for the salvation of others. You know, it's easy to sit in one spot and not move and get comfortable, and that's what we like doing as human beings. We like sitting in one spot and getting comfortable and not looking around and seeing that there are people in our periphery who are not responding to the message of their own salvation. And it's really easy to sit in one spot and not really be concerned with it, but to be only concerned with our house. But that is not what Christians do. That is not the Christian way of life. That is not the Christian way of living. And in today's lesson, we're going to see why that's something that we, as believers in Christ, don't ever want to allow to describe us as people who sit in one spot and who are not concerned with the salvation of others. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. We are introducing the next passage under study. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to Romans chapter 3, verse 20. And we begin with the first part of this passage, which is Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to Romans chapter 1, verse 23. And here's what it says. And God has had us parked at this verse for a period of time and for great purpose. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and against the unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. We've been parked there because there is a lot there. Are you unrighteous? Are you ungodly? And are you one of the people that's described in this verse who suppress the truth in unrighteousness? Now, we've already handled this matter. If you're a believer in Christ, that's not talking about you, because you made a decision that was godly and righteous and embracing of the truth. That's one option. But the significance of this verse is that all creatures are born under this condition. What is the condition? Ungodliness, unrighteousness, and suppression of the truth. All of us as creatures are born under that condition. And one of the things that I think I've gotten across to you, since the jokes keep flying this way, don't forget where you came from. And this is where we came from. And once you attain to godliness and righteousness and embracing the truth through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, which is free and a free gift to all creatures from their Creator, once you have attained that, that is not an excuse for you to sit on your butt and do nothing. Because the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against ungodliness and unrighteousness and the suppression of the truth. And a lot of the people that are being described there are in your family. A lot of the people who are described there are your friends. Terrific people. Awesome people who think that they're going to get to heaven by being good. Terrific people. I personally think hell might be worth the visit one day, because there are a lot of great people in hell. Why? Because the wrath of God will be revealed from heaven against ungodliness, unrighteousness, and suppression of the truth. And you got to get that. And God has had us parked at this verse. And I asked him, why do you have us parked at this verse? And he said, I don't think your congregation really understands the severity of the word wrath. And then I asked him, well, why would that be? And he said, well, that's another matter. We'll talk about that later. But wrath is something that you wouldn't wish on your worst enemy. And yet, as human beings, what do? When we have unbelievers in our periphery, when we have unbelievers in our family, what do? We tiptoe around the issue. If these people that you love are breathing and you love them, you respect them, you owe it to them. And if you don't like them, you owe it to them to make this issue clear. Because this is the condition of all creatures, not just unbelievers. This is the condition of all creatures. And there's a free gift for all creatures as well. This doesn't have to be anybody's condition. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and against the unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Romans 1:19. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. Within who? All those practicing ungodliness and unrighteousness. For God makes the knowledge of himself evident to them. God buries a knowledge of himself inside of all of us. God surrounds us in a sphere of knowledge of himself. Romans 1:20. Here it is. For since the creation of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ's invisible attributes, his eternal power, and his divinity have been clearly seen by all mankind, being understood through what has been made, through the entire created universe. You can't go to the Grand Canyon and not know that there is a God. You cannot in any rational way think that that beauty was created by a Big Bang. You cannot go to Niagara Falls and look at the intricacy of that and not know that there is a God, that there was a designer for that design. You cannot go to a hospital or work in a hospital and not understand, when you understand how the intricacy of how the human body works, and think somehow that there is this big explosion that happened, and then now your body, which breathes without your permission, even if you were strangled and to unconsciousness, will continue to breathe without your permission. You can't experience your own body and not know that there is a God. Cannot. Now, you can suppress the truth. You can ignore that fact. But all of us will have a moment when we know that clearly within ourselves. And it won't just be one moment. It'll be many moments where we know within ourselves that there is a God who is sustaining us. Since the creation of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ's invisible attributes, his eternal power and his divinity have been clearly seen by all mankind, being understood through what has been made, so that all mankind, especially those practicing ungodliness and unrighteousness, are without excuse in the matter of knowing God. Romans 1:21. This is the beautiful part. Even though those practicing ungodliness and unrighteousness knew God, they did not honor him as God or give him thanks. Why? Because they picked another God, a small g. And instead, those practicing an ungodliness and unrighteousness became futile in their speculations. I wonder how the universe was created. I wonder when dinosaurs roamed the earth. Since Adam and Eve weren't born, I wonder if they had a belly button. Became futile in their speculations, and as a result, their foolish heart was darkened. Romans 1:22, professing to be wise, the smart guy is always the brokest guy in the room. Profession to be wise, they, those practicing ungodliness and unrighteousness, became fools. What made them foolish? They exchanged the glory of an incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, an image in the form of birds, an image of, in the form of four-footed animals, and an image in the form of crawling creatures. That's what our kids are being taught in school, the theory of evolution. And the funny thing is, if you read anything about Darwin, you realize that at the end of his life, he backed off of his theory. He said, you know, there's a reason it's called a theory. And Deacon Elliot and I always have a great laugh at when we're at a zoo, right? Because evolution, all right, we walked out of the water and as a tadpole and became a frog and then became whatever we became, and then we became a gorilla, and then here's man. Well, evolution, the species before is supposed to go away, and Deacon Elliot and I always laugh when we go to the zoo and we see a gorilla and we turn to each other and we say, this is our standing joke, why are they still here? If we evolved from them, why are they still here? We know why they're still here, because they're animals and we're not. That's why. Because we didn't come from them. We came from the hand of a magnificent and graceful God who created us when he didn't have to. A God that is worthy of worship. But instead, we become foolish in our speculations and we worship something else. So unless you were born under a rock, unless you have stayed under a rock for the bulk of your life, nothing that you have just heard in this passage should be a shock to you. You've heard that there is a God. You've heard that there is wrath, that God has it. You've heard that God directs his wrath toward creatures. You've heard that there is a thing called ungodliness. You've heard that there is the word unrighteousness. You've heard about sin and you know what sins are. You know that there seems to be something spiritual in play in this universe. And maybe, as Deacon Elliot Clark suggested in a lesson last week, you just haven't been curious. Or perhaps, as Deacon Caleb Auburn intimated in his lesson last week, maybe you're not committed to your life. Maybe you're not all in. Maybe you are content to just see what happens in this life. And as long as you don't hear a passage like the one you just heard, as long as you don't put yourself within earshot of a disturbing passage like this by going to church, because maybe you're one of the crowd who proclaims, I don't like church, and I'm not religious, I'm more spiritual, and the only reason I ever went to church is because someone made me go to church when I was a kid. Maybe you're content to ignore these things that you're hearing about and instead content to busy yourself with other things that have no effect whatsoever on your eternal future. Maybe you've never stopped to ask yourself why this life and why we have a fear of this thing called death. You know, that's where I am in my own life. You know, in 1 month, I'll be completing my 59th year on the planet. And every time I'm coughing now, got a little cold, and it's kind of tight in my chest. And every time, I wonder if I'm having a heart attack. You know, everything is a crisis now. Oh, I don't want to exercise, might have a heart attack. Yeah. Don't want to get a colonoscopy, they might find cancer. You know, everything's a crisis. And I think the other day I was at the doctor and they did this aortic screening, you know, and it was really ominous. Did I tell you about this? Yeah. And so the lady, it's an ultrasound procedure and they put, you know, they squirt the juice and then they slide this thing across. Rory Clark, less than 3 centimeters. And there's this pregnant pause. And I said, hey, is that good? Yes, everything less than 3 centimeters is good. You're going to be fine. And it was just at that time when I had some crap in my head about my heart. Because I was raised by a hypochondriac. My mom was a hypochondriac. And so if you coughed, you know, it was polio. Or not polio. What is it? TB. It was TB. You had to get a chest x-ray if you coughed. So everything's like that now. Why this fascination with this thing called death? And why do we get so sad when it happens to others that we know? And why do we hope that it never happens to us? And why do we strive for peace in a world that there is no peace? Welcome to a place which asks you to open your soul to the questions of your very existence. This passage under study, Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to Romans chapter 1, verse 23, exposes your soul to an indictment of the entire human race, of every creature. And when you stop listening to this message today, I hope you don't see people the same way or yourself the same way ever again. You see, if you've ever been arrested, you know what I mean. If you've ever been arrested, it exposes you to a world that you never knew about. It exposes you to treatment you have never experienced. And even if the arrest is as simple as you getting a ticket, you know, when a policeman stops you, you're under arrest. And it exposes you to a world that you may have never known about. All of a sudden, people aren't so impressed with your act. All of a sudden, people who are supposed to treat you as if you are innocent until proven guilty instead treat you with a suspicion that is almost offensive. If you've been following the study for a period of time, you've heard me say that you're about to hear an indictment of the entire human race in this next passage, and I want you to know what that means. And this week I took a disturbing look at that life, the life of a criminal, because in the spiritual realm, we are all born criminals. We all are breakers of the law. To share with you a few things that are in play here in the biblical world that are being taught to us through other means in our physical world. You reside in a country that is under government. What is government? It is an institution of enforcement. And if you've ever paid taxes or had taxes taken out of your check, you know what I mean. Because the first time you get taxes taken out of your check and you look and you see that number and it's about 30% of what you earned and you were expecting to get the whole amount, you say, hey, what happened here? And somebody tells you, well, that money goes to the government. You may protest, but you say it's okay because you know that you're in a country that is under government. And because you live under government, you must abide by the laws of the land. What are the laws of the land? It's an objective system of rules enforced by an institution of enforcement for governing your conduct, for maintaining order, and for ensuring fairness in all matters, especially in criminal and civil matters. I'm sure it's a bet you wouldn't take, but I'll bet you have no idea all the laws that you are under. Do you know the laws of the state of Arizona? Some of you just moved here from Kansas. I can't imagine that you read the laws of the state of Arizona yet. But you sure are under them. You know, we're all under a series of laws. Because we're under government, we're under the laws of the land. I do know this. If you break the law and get caught, you'll pay for it. Why? It's because you're a citizen. As a citizen, you're a person to whom the law applies. Because you're a citizen, you have rights. The fair and equal treatment that is due to all persons who are under the law. And as a citizen, you have a choice. You can obey the laws of the land, which carries with it the reward of liberty. Your freedom, at least in the United States for sure. Or you can choose to commit a criminal act by breaking the law, which carries with it a penalty, which may include incarceration, which is the confiscation of your freedom. And your rights exist in writing. Here's an example. The Declaration of Independence. This is how it starts. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And among these rights are the right to life, the right to liberty, and the right to pursue happiness. And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed citizens. Now, if you break the law and you get caught, you're placed under arrest, which means to stop, to hold, to catch. And as a citizen, when you're arrested, you still have rights. And thanks to a ruling called Miranda versus Arizona in 1966, the Supreme Court of the United States held that when you are arrested, it must be proven that your rights have been announced to you. When you are arrested, there is a written complaint registered against you, listing the reason for the charges, and it is a written assessment of your violation of the law. And once the complaint is written, it is announced. And this announcement is called an indictment. And the indictment is a formal accusation against you. At a point, you will be in court, a place where cases are heard and a place where disputes are settled. In court, you will meet a judge, a prosecutor, and you are the defendant. The judge is an independent, objective party who decides a case. The prosecutor is the one who brings charges against you, who explains the crime you committed, and who details the evidence that incriminates you. As the defendant, the accused party, you must refute with evidence the charges against you. Now, you've had that happen, right? You got a ticket. Your self-righteousness flew up. I didn't do it. You know you did. You had lead foot that day. And you decide you want to go to court. When you decide you want to go to court, there's a dispute between you and the officer. You don't just get to come in and say, I didn't do it. You have to be able to prove with evidence that you didn't do it. So you understand this. You will be called before the court to answer the charges. And this request to answer an indictment, the formal charges against you, is called an arraignment. At the arraignment, you're required to enter a plea. Guilty or not guilty? During your court case, two parties, the prosecution and you, the defense, offer versions of the set of events that led to your arrest and argue separate versions of the events. Then it's up to the judge to render a verdict in your case, determining your guilt or innocence through an examination of the evidence presented in the two arguments. And if you are found not guilty, you are set free. If you are found guilty, you are incarcerated. So the passage under study, Romans chapter 1, verse 18, to Romans chapter 3, verse 20, follows the exact same reasoning that you just heard. In the world, you're being taught through other means exactly what the Bible is telling you. So let's review that. Here it is. You're under government. You have to follow, as a result of that, the laws of the land. Why? Because you're a citizen. As a citizen, you have rights. You must obey the law. If you do, you get to be free. If you don't, if you break the law, incarceration. My good friend Pastor John Farley is in Tennessee this weekend evangelizing at a prison ministry. And I'm really excited to hear how that refreshed his soul. I'll bet it did. And there are a lot of people that he came in contact with over this weekend that have broken the law and are incarcerated. And I believe that they could tell you a phenomenal story of what it's like to be free and how lousy it is to be incarcerated. When you break the law, you're under arrest. You are read your Miranda rights. You've heard it on TV. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. If you need a lawyer, one will be appointed. If you can't afford a lawyer, one will be appointed for you. Do you understand these rights as have been said to you? The arresting officer has to prove that he did indeed administer your Miranda rights, that you knew that even though you were under arrest, you had rights. And then the officer files a written complaint. That written complaint is announced. It's called an indictment. You go to court. There's a judge, a prosecutor who wants to see you convicted and you the defendant. And you are called before the judge in an arraignment to say whether you are guilty or not guilty. If you say not guilty, you get to argue your case. The prosecution against you, the defense. And then the judge renders a verdict, allegedly objective, of guilty or not guilty. And if guilty, wrath. If you're guilty, the wrath of the judicial system. We see this in our everyday life. And the study that we're doing right now is showing us that in the spiritual realm. Because the same thing exists in the spiritual realm. Take a 5-minute break.
I've got hope when things look bad, and I can smile when I should be sad. I've got friends who lift me up when I'm feeling low. They watch over me wherever so high, I'm not so far away. I've got friends in places, and I'm gonna be with them someday. There's the Father right by his son, and the angels each and every one, and other friends I miss so much, and I long to see, but knowing I'll be with them one day, come. I'm gonna be with them someday.
welcome back. So in the spiritual realm, you know, it's really easy, I think, for us to understand state government, national government, government laws, and the rest. But in the spiritual realm, we're under the same exact system. And it should come as no surprise to you that there are people who want to lead you away from the established system. That should come as no surprise to you. That there are people who encourage you to break the law. And in fact, there's nobody in here who hasn't broken the law. And there's nobody in the spiritual realm who hasn't broken the law. Now, some of you, you know, may say, I haven't broken the law. Wait, first of all, if you're going to say that, you better know all the laws. And if you want to laugh sometimes, just read some of the laws of the state of Arizona about relationships. You'll find out real quick you've broken the law. So here's what we've got. If you take what we just shared with you and put it in the spiritual realm, the government is the Godhead, the Lord Jesus Christ being the manifest member. The laws of the land are detailed in the Bible. The Bible says, you know, the Bible is pretty bold. The Bible makes pretty bold claims. And they're either true or they're not. Other religious documents make bold claims too. Now, it shouldn't surprise you that the Bible is counterfeited. I was a member of the Roman Catholic Church, and there was a thing called the Catechism of the Catholic Church that had to explain the Bible, because the Bible's so complicated, had to explain it, yet everything it was saying was exactly opposite of what the Bible was saying. Now, there's only one way to figure that out. You got to put the Bible on one side in writing, put the Catechism of the Catholic Church on the other side in writing, and compare. And you'll see. Easy. It's easy. You are a citizen. In the spiritual realm, you're a creature who is created by the Creator. You have rights. What is that? Volition. You have the ability to choose. You have the right to choose what you believe, what is your truth, where your soul spends eternity, because the soul, once born, never dies, but you get to choose where it spends eternity. This body, as you know, will go into the ground and become fertilizer for daffodils, or you'll burn it. The body isn't going to make it. We know that. We're not confused about that at all. But what about your soul? The soul, once born, never dies. You get to choose where it spends eternity. You can obey the law, which means freedom. In this case, in the spiritual realm, it means believe in Christ. The Lord makes a very bold proclamation. No one comes to the Father but through believing in me. He's either telling the truth or he's lying. You have to decide. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through believing in me. You have to decide if that's true or not. Or you can break the law. You can reject Christ, and that ends up in incarceration. That incarceration is called the lake of fire. We don't like talking about that, because that connects to wrath, and we don't like talking about that either. But in the human realm, we like talking about it. If you break the law, you're going to jail. And the wrath of the judicial system will come down on you. Now, one of the things that I read that bothered me at first this week, but over time I understood it, is how long it actually takes for that process to play out. That process takes a long time to play out. If somebody commits a crime against you, it may be 7 years before they go to jail. And, you know, if you're the one who has been the victim of a crime, you say, well, that's not fair. No, it's exactly fair. It's called due process. It's just like your life. See, God gives you a life, and he gives you an allotted number of days, and you have due process. And he brings things to you over the course of your life so that you can make a decision. It's absolutely fair. If it's not fair in the your life realm, and what does the average person get? The average male, 72 years. The average female, 77 years. And we know that there are people who are under that and people who are over that. But on average, 72, 77. That's a pretty long time, if you think about it. It'd be easy for God to say, well, that's not fair. You know, why should I give them all that time when I already know? I know all the knowable. I already know whether they're guilty or innocent. Why shouldn't I just pronounce my sentence now? But he doesn't do that. If you break the law, you're under arrest. And that's evangelism. During the course of your life, somebody will come to you and present a very simple message to you. Believe in Christ, eternal life. Reject Christ, eternal condemnation. That's called evangelism. And the Miranda rights are the gospel message. And the gospel message will tell you, even though you're breaking the law right now, even though you're ungodly, unrighteous, and a member of the ones who suppress the truth, you have a chance to do something different than that. Awesome. And then the written complaint, that's what we're studying in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to Romans chapter 3, verse 20. And toward the end of it, it ends up this way. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All creatures, you are guilty. All creatures, you are without excuse. The requirement of God for relationship is righteousness, and you aren't born with it, and you can't create it by anything that you do. Guilty. That's what this passage will discuss. The indictment is, you knew. Not only are you guilty, but you knew what the law was, and you broke it. The court, the Godhead is the judge, the prosecutor is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the defendant is you, which constitutes the whole human race, all creatures, and it also constitutes the entire angelic race. And the arraignment is, do you believe or do you not? You're called to answer a charge. Christ is the way to salvation. Do you believe it or not? Your life is your chance to argue your case. And then the judge, the righteous judge, renders a verdict. If guilty, wrath. Romans 1:18. That's it. Now, should that scare you? I don't think so. It's not pleasant to hear, but should it scare you? It should not. It should scare you if you think God's a tyrant. But if you think God is a God of grace, then it doesn't scare you at all. So here's the passage again. Look at it with new eyes now. Here's what it says. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and against the unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. If you break the law, you're going to jail. Romans 1:18, Romans 1:19, because that which is known about God is evident within them, within those that practicing ungodliness and unrighteousness. For God made the knowledge of God evident to them. You knew. You know the law. Yes, it is hot in here, Emily. I'm about to die up here, and I am a lizard. It is hot. Romans 1:20, since the creation of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ's invisible attributes, his eternal power and his divine nature, his divinity, have been clearly seen. You knew, and it's clear to you. And it keeps being shown to you over and over and over again. How? Being understood through what has been made, the entire created universe, that all mankind, especially those practicing ungodliness and righteousness, are without excuse in the matter of knowing God and knowing the law. Romans 1:21, even though those practicing ungodliness and unrighteousness knew God, knew there was a government, they, those practicing ungodliness and unrighteousness, those breaking the law, did not honor him as God, did not have regard for the government. All we are saying is give peace a chance. That's the era I come from, right? Where we protested against the government. Man, the oppressive system, man. It's the man like holding you down, man. Well, here it is in the Bible, the same thing. For even though those practicing ungodliness and unrighteousness knew God, those practicing ungodliness and unrighteousness did not honor him as God or give thanks, but instead, those practicing ungodliness and unrighteousness became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. What does that mean? They made their own laws. You've done that. If you're on a diet and you don't keep it, you just change the diet. Right? I didn't like that rule. So I decided to do this. You hear that all the time. Romans 1:22, professing to be wise, if you tell yourself that you make the rules long enough, you start to believe that you actually make the rules. You start to believe that God is arbitrary. Professing to be wise, those practicing ungodliness and unrighteousness became fools. Romans 1:23, and they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image, in the form of corruptible man, in the form of birds, in the form of four-footed animals, in the form of crawling creatures. In other words, if you reject God, you will have a God of your own creation. And it'll be man, it'll be a bird, it'll be an animal, a cow. In India, cows are worshipped. You know, you can hit a person. People in India drive crazy. Said in India, you got to have three things. Good brakes, good horn, good luck. You can hit a person, but you better not hit a cow. Because they're worshipped. And in the form of crawling creatures, serpents. Now, we have been parked at Romans chapter 1, verse 18 for a period of time, and the word we see in that verse that shakes us to our very core is the word wrath. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and against the unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. It's important for you, whether you are a believer in Christ or an unbeliever, to understand that God has wrath, and he directs it. And it's also important for you to see that God has an enemy. And among the many titles by which the enemy is identified in the Bible, he is called Satan. Satan has a strategy against the human race, and it's called religion. It gives creatures the false hope that they can create their own laws, that they can disregard God's laws, and still be pleasing to God. The one strand that is behind every religion, and the dead giveaway to the fact that you're involved in a religion, is works. You have to work to please God, otherwise you're not pleasing to him. And it's a great play off of wrath. It's so similar. And that's what a counterfeit is. A counterfeit is so similar to the original as to be imperceptible to the person who's not looking at the differences. And see, that's what we do. In the matter of religion, we look at the similarities. Oh, as a Roman Catholic, you know, yes, I'm picking on Roman Catholics. I'll tell you why. Because I was a Roman Catholic for 21 years and I know it cold. That's why. And it's not that I can't pick on the other religions because I know them just as well, but my favorite whipping boys are the billion people who were seduced and fooled like I was by Roman Catholicism. It's easy to be fooled. And so my Christian friends would come to me and they would say, here, you need to pray this prayer so you can be saved. And I'd look at it and say, believe in Christ. I already believe in Christ. Thanks. Because in the Roman Catholic religion, Jesus Christ is at the center of it. Or at least apparently so. Until you start reading the fine print. The Jesus Christ of Roman Catholicism is not the Jesus Christ of biblical Christianity. It's not. But how are you going to find that out? Don't take my word for it. Check it out. check out what the Catechism of the Catholic Church says about that Jesus, and check out what the Bible says about Jesus. Compare it. There are counterfeit Jesuses. Religion counterfeits God and his plan. And it's important for you to know that. Religion gives creatures the false hope that they can create their own laws, that they can disregard God's laws and still be pleasing to God. And isn't that the same when a person smokes marijuana? An illegal substance, all the time convincing himself that it's perfectly okay to smoke marijuana, even though the laws of the land say it's illegal. Now, I think they have an excuse for distorting. They're high. You know, when you're high, I'll give you a break. If you distort and you're high, I'll give you a break. Now, just because I gave you a break doesn't mean it's not illegal. It's illegal. Because we lie to ourselves about the laws of the land when we want to break them, it doesn't exempt us from the law. Lack of knowledge of the laws of the land doesn't exempt us from the law. And when we break the law, the indictment says, you knew, and you decided to do something else. This is the message of the first part of our next passage in Romans. You knew, and you decided to do something else. And as a result, wrath. All creatures, however, must take comfort in one fact about God. And here is that fact. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord Jesus Christ is not slow about his promise of salvation, as some accuse him of. But he is patient toward unbelievers, not wishing for any to perish in the lake of fire, but for all to come to repentance, a change of mind about Christ. 72 years of exposure for men, 77 years of exposure for women is a fair hearing. All right, we won't count the first 5 years. We're all kind of clueless the first 5 years, right? The only thing we're concerned about is getting our diaper changed in a juice box. All right, so let's just forget about those 5 years. But 72 minus 5 is 67. 77 minus 5 is 72. That's a lot of years of exposure to God, to his word, to these messages brought to us by friends who are concerned for our eternal welfare. Think of the number of rejections it must take for somebody to end up in the lake of fire. Think of the number of rejections of the truth that it must take for somebody to end up in the lake of fire. It takes a lot. But the Lord is not slow about his promise of salvation, as some accuse him of, but he's patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance, a change of mind about Christ. What does that mean exactly? It means God wants a relationship with you. God does not want you to experience his wrath. God is a good parent. God is a good parent. He doesn't want you to experience his wrath. He doesn't want you to be uncomfortable. So how are you handling it? If he wanted you to experience his wrath, you'd already be destroyed. He's patient towards you. And he lets you make your own decision about him. So what do you believe? Do you believe God? Or do you believe the deception of his enemy? That's the question. Here is God's plea to you. This is God's plea to each one of us who were born under wrath. John 3:16. God the Father loved the world so much that he gave his uniquely born Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever believes in him shall never perish, but have eternal life. For God the Father did not send the Lord Jesus Christ into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is not judged. There is no condemnation for those in union with Christ. He who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the uniquely born Son of God the Father. why is it that Jesus Christ always pops up as the center of everything? Why do we celebrate Christmas? What are we celebrating at the counterfeit celebration coming up called Easter? We're celebrating Resurrection Day, and it's covered with Easter. At Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Christ, and it's covered with Santa Claus. There isn't anybody in the world who doesn't know. They knew, and they decided to do something else. John 3:18, he who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, I already read that one, John 3:19. This is the judgment, that the light, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come into the world, and men love the darkness like religion rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. And then John 3:36, he who obeys God's request and believes in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has the resurrection life, the Zoe life. He who does not obey the request of God the Father to believe in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, will not see the resurrection life, but the wrath of God abides on him. It's a simple matter. Keep the law, break the law. It's a simple matter. Your choice. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Jesus and he will make your path straight. For the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He'll be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you, so do not fear or be dismayed. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. He waits on high to have compassion on you, for the Lord is a God of justice, and blessed are those who wait for him. Closing song, I Will.
I will. I am filled with pride.
Thanks, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, that you allow us to tell the truth to people. And the truth is never really popular, but we appreciate it that you've provided God the Holy Spirit to convict the whole world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And we thank you for not making those such ominous ideas. They would be totally ominous if you had not provided the way of escape. Thank you for providing your Son, for doing something that none of us would do, sending your Son to the cross to die for the sins of all mankind and then raising him from the dead so that we might have hope. And I pray for those who are at the other end of this message, they will take the message seriously and to realize that life is serious and that in that seriousness, there's a lot of fun when you simply follow the rules. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your unconditional love, your person, your thinking, your work, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.